podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Middlesex County Cricket League podcast. My name's Dan Huff from Twickenham. The season's ended. We know who's gone up. We know who's gone down. We're all taking a few deep breaths and reflecting on what's happened. And one of the things that we're going to do through the winter is talk to various people who've played either in the County League this season or in seasons gone by and try and unpick their brains a bit, find out what they made of the experience, and just get a feel for what it's been like to be out there at the cutting edge of County League cricket this season or very recently. So I'm going to be doing that alongside Sal Manally from North London. Sal, how are you? Are you well?
I'm good, and Dan, very well. Just looking forward to our guest tonight, who's made sort of many headlines in this season at club this year. So I'll let you reveal who it is.
Sure, yeah. Well, we're really pleased to be speaking to Joel Curtis from Crouch End. Now, for those who don't know, well, if you don't know how many runs Joel scored, you've not been listening to the podcast very often because we've mentioned his name pretty frequently. If we've got our stats right, 18 innings for Crouch End this season, the small matter of 1,242 runs, an average of 82.8, 350s and just the 600s. So I think by any standards, that's a pretty phenomenal season in the Middlesex County League. So, Joel, welcome on board.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for the intro.
We have bigged it up a lot there, haven't we? But, I mean, there's plenty to big up. It's been a brilliant season. Silly question to start with. Have you enjoyed it?
Absolutely. I love my time at Crouch End. They're a great bunch of lads. And to play some good cricket at the same time, it's been a very good summer, along with good weather as well.
Yeah, the weather's been off the radar, hasn't it? 18 innings is not many people get 18 innings in a season because, of course, the Great British weather does its thing. First question I was going to ask you, Joel. I mean, listeners will immediately pick up an Antipodean accent. Can you tell us a bit about your background? Where did you start playing? Who was your first club? You know, what sort of level have you played at in Australia?
Yeah, so I obviously grew up in Perth, Western Australia. On the other side of Australia to most people. But yeah, just grew up from a young age playing cricket in the summer, Aussie rules in the winter, like most Aussies. And then, yeah, started my local sort of competitive cricket at Perth Cricket Club when I was about, well, I started from 13 in that league and then moved to Perth when I was about 15 years old from another club. And yeah, been there for about 4 or 5 years and made my way into the first grade setup at the club and sort of just found my feet there a bit and then had my first season over here in 2019.
And in terms of Perth's sort of performances over recent years, been successful teams or have you struggled in the league or where have Perth fitted in the comp?
Yeah, we've always had a very strong team, very strong club the last sort of 5 to 7 years, even before I was there. But yeah, struggled to win any cups, but always in the final setups. And last season we made it through to the semi-final, but lost. And yeah, it's always been sort of a strong club since I've been there.
The competitive side. You mentioned Aussie rules. I'm always intrigued to know what people do outside of cricket, really. So is that the second love or rugby league maybe? No, or is Aussie rules where it's at?
In Perth, Aussie rules. Over on the East Coast, around Sydney and stuff, they're big on their rugby, but not so much in Perth. It's mainly, yeah, cricket in the summer and Aussie rules in the winter.
I always grew up thinking that was a Melbourne Victoria game. That's obviously not the case anymore then, though.
Aussie rules?
Yeah.
No, it's pretty big all around Australia. But yeah, it's a big sport over there.
Sal, you an Aussie rules man?
No idea anything about that sport.
No.
I had a good friend actually, he was over from Australia and he loved it. He's every Saturday, it was his morning of just in, you know, whatever time they start, 8, 9 in the morning, UK time, TV switched on and just sat there for like 3 or 4 hours watching you know, the comps.
All I know is they're all bloody big units, aren't they?
They are. You've
got to be pretty big and strong to play that game. Good. So in terms of coming over to England, had you been over to England before you came to play cricket, or was the cricket experience the first time that you got to the UK?
Yeah, it was the first time. So my mum was actually born in Liverpool, and they her dad was
and got out as quick as she could.
Yeah, I now know why, but she was one of those 10-pound Poms, I believe. So they got their family over to Oz, and but yeah, so came over here with a British passport. Obviously, you heard of other cricketers doing it, and yeah, 2019 was my first season of cricket, and I ended up here through a good mate of mine and my coach and mentor Tom Scolle, who introduced me to Crouch End.
And what were your first experiences of Crouch End and the Shepherd's Cot? Because there aren't too many places in England where you've got, how many clubs are there in the Cot? 90 or whatever it is, and you've got loads of clubs all right next to each other, but of course as independent entities, and I don't recall seeing anything quite like that in the UK. What do you make of it all when you arrived? It's a cricketing hotbed, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very interesting, obviously. Coming into London, it's a pretty big eye-opener from someone from Perth, and to see everything going on. And I actually really enjoy Crouch End as an area. It's sort of like its own little hub in London, where you've got some nature and sort of some nice walks you can go around, and obviously a few cricket clubs as well, which is cool.
Absolutely. And when you came over in 2019, that was then was Tom at Crouch End at that stage, or?
Yeah, so the plan was for me and Tom to both play in the first team, but there was something wrong. Something happened with the passports, and yeah, he was playing first team. I wasn't able to play in first team. So about halfway through the season, I knew someone up north and went and played up in the Bradford Prem League for Putty St. Lawrence for half a season.
Oh.
Yeah, so did half a season up there, and then COVID happened, and then was obviously keen to get back as Crouch End. Obviously, we'd done pretty well in the league, and I really enjoyed the club, so I wanted to get back and play for Crouch End as soon as I could.
And what did you make of the Bradford League? Because the Yorkshire leagues have got a reputation for being very strong.
Yeah, it was a very strong competition, and it's a bit different compared to London. I wouldn't say it's much better than a Prem side here, but the wickets you play on are definitely harder, which make the conditions a bit tougher as well as a batter, especially.
Harder as in not so well prepared, or a bit wetter maybe? I mean, the climate is, so they say, a little bit damper up north.
Yeah, a bit of everything. The weather's, yeah, it's rains a bit more. The wickets are a bit greener, probably a bit, yeah, softer, makes it a bit hard for the batter.
Joe, I want to ask you, so coming to this season, what was your, I mean, did you have individual sort of targets you wanted to achieve, or what was sort of like the goal of playing Prem cricket for Crouch End this year?
Yeah, I wasn't too sure what to expect, to be honest. But I work closely with Tom Scolle, and he obviously has been successful in the Middlesex League throughout his career. And he said, set a goal of averaging 50, and sort of I was thinking around maybe a great season would be like 800 runs or so. And then, yeah, just was able to string a few innings together early doors, and it sort of just went from there, to be honest.
So after your first century this year, I'm not sure who that was against, but I'm sure you do know yourself. I mean, that was obviously a springboard for your season to sort of kick into gear, wasn't it? I mean, did you feel there was more centuries in the making as you sort of progressed along during the season?
Yeah, definitely. It was quite funny actually. The first two games I failed, and then I ended up playing this Sunday friendly. I couldn't say what standard it was, but
Sunday cricket in England for you, Joel.
Yeah,
eclectic mix.
And I got 100 in that game, and I don't know, maybe it was something in that, but after that, that's when I went on that roll. I got 400s in a row, one including a cup game. And then, yeah, but after the first one, I think it sort of just gave me that confidence and belief in myself again. And I think every innings after that, I sort of walked out thinking I'm going to get 100. So it sort of, yeah, definitely made something click for sure.
And don't tell me you don't know the answer to this question, because I just don't believe you if you tell me you don't know. How many hundreds have you got in your career?
I actually don't know.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I think it would be between 20 to 30, I reckon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember once speaking to a player in the County League who should remain unnamed. And I said, I remember that 149 not out you scored against Weybridge. And he genuinely couldn't remember it. If I scored 149 out, I'd be telling everybody about it every day of the goddamn week. But
it wasn't,
and I
me,
thought,
Dan.
Wow.
Was it?
It wasn't you, Sal. No, I revealed to the world it wasn't you.
Wow.
But 20 to 30. And what about Crouch End season? I mean, you finished third. And obviously, when you look at it on paper, won the league last year, finished third this year. It looks like it's not been as good a season. But Sal and I have said enough times on the pod that defending your title in a tough league is really hard. And given that, I mean, I'm sure folks would have wanted to retain the title, but third still must represent a good season, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were talking about it. Harry, the captain, was talking about it at the end of the season. And even though we finished third, we felt like we had a... Or they felt like they had a better season than the time that they won the league. Just in terms of the games we won and the type and how we improved in the red ball as well. So, yeah, we definitely all felt like we improved, which is what you want as a... someone defending the league, and especially for the young side we have, we definitely play out of our depth, I think.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because the challenge of our competition, and I don't think it's the same in Australia, is of course you've got two formats as well, haven't you? You're playing basically two different games of cricket. And do you think Crouch End are better at one of those formats? And if so, why?
We definitely better at the pink ball stuff. And I think that's just because many of the boys haven't played much red ball cricket, and realizing that how to find that balance in their game with the time and the situation and how to adapt to different game situations. Whereas in pink ball, you can sort of just, I guess, you know what to do, and it's pretty attacking style game. Which suits a lot of our batters, and I think that's the main reason, yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, Sal, would you see it that way? Because you've said a couple of times you think Crouch End were better at the pink ball cricket, didn't you?
Yeah, and I'm not sure. You'd think with bowling, they have the red ball might suit more, because they can obviously have bowlers bowling longer spells, but it seems that pink ball sort of suited their game. Maybe, I don't know, just the format they've played in the past maybe has helped them. Having not played a lot in the Prem up till 2 years ago, just playing, you know, Div 1, Div 2, maybe Div 2 is what they've been brought up on, and that's what they're used to. But you'd think with the attack they have, you know, Apps, Natim, you know, sort of bowls you can bowl long spells, that the time format may suit them. But, you know, maybe something that I'm sure looking to work on for next season.
And it's a strange one, because statistically I know that my club, Twickenham, are much better at the red ball cricket. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure I know why. I'm not sure if it's just preparation as we go into the season. It's not as good as it could be, but definitely statistically, red ball-wise, we're much better. I mean, I know that didn't pan out with Crouch End this year in terms of the results against Twickenham, but it's weird. I can't work it out. I it's one for the long winter night, Sal, to try and fathom out why we seem to get so many more points in one format than the other. What about your opponents then, Joel? Obviously, you played everybody twice. What's your impressions of what you came up against?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good cricket. Like, I feel like if you had an off sort of few out, like an hour in a game, you would lose the game because the other team would be able to beat you. So I think it was a good standard. Like, it feels like if you had an off day, like the other team would beat you. So you couldn't really be off the game much. And in terms of, I guess, yeah, bowling, obviously, batting, I feel like a lot of teams, like, they had some good batters that showed that throughout the season, and some good bowling attacks as well.
I mean, it looks to us like batters have dominated, though. this season. The certainly statistically, there is. I mean, I think you said, Sal, four people have got over 1,000 runs. Is that right? This season, yeah. Which is not something we've seen before. So, is that what it felt like when you were playing? And if it did, why do you think that is? Is the batting just better than the bowling, or is it something to do with the formats or the weather? I mean, the tracks maybe in on this.
Yeah, I think it's definitely to do with the tracks that we're playing on. They're pretty good, and I feel like the batters in the league are very strong. Like, you have Steve Rangold, who's played county cricket, and Steve McGiffin from Brisbane, who's, I think he's played Big Bash as well. So I think the types of batters that were in the league were really strong, and I think, yeah, it suits pink ball cricket. And I think that there was something to do. I think the boys are complaining about the juke balls this year, or a lot of people in the league, how the juke balls are actually different compared to last year. So that could possibly have something to do with it as well.
I heard something about that, but I didn't really know what to make of it. They were going softer, weren't they? Is that right?
Yeah, it was something to do with that. They weren't swinging as long and, yeah, staying as hard, but...
Yeah, bowlers always complaining, aren't they? Crikey.
Joel, so, I mean, I'm sure others know as well, listeners who listen to this, that you wasn't the only Aussie in the cot this season. You had Matt Moran at North Mid and Mac Jenkins at Hornsey. Now, I gather you built up sort of, you know, a bit of a friendship there, but also, was it like on the pitch rivalry taking place? Like, who's going to score the most runs this year at the early stages of the season?
Yeah, definitely built a good friendship. With those guys, I feel like Aussies sort of, they stick together a bit and, yeah, look after each other. So I definitely wanted those boys to do really well for themselves and for their team. But, yeah, I know Matt was always asking me how many runs I've scored, and we were comparing stats at one stage. So that had some good fun in it. But, yeah, he obviously had to head home early, but he was having a very good season as well. And, yeah, definitely built a good friendship with those lads.
Did you know him before? Not from Perth, are they?
No, Mac's from Sydney and Matt's from Sydney as well. So, no, okay. I didn't know them, no.
So, Matt, talk about stats, Joel. When did the league record come into your sort of sight, or your sort of thinking, you know, I can actually sort of get close to what Jalpesh, obviously one of your ex sort of club mates, achieved 2-3 years ago? I mean, was that something that was in your mind towards the end? I mean, obviously towards the end it was, but I mean, when did you start thinking that this could be something I can achieve? It's within my reach.
I think it was maybe like just after that halfway mark. Scholes messaged me and was like, "Oh, you're getting pretty close to like my record or some of the guys up the top." So it was definitely in the back of my mind, and I used it like as a goal to reach. And it wasn't until about maybe 3 games to go where I was like, "Oh, I could probably reach this." And it was something that I sort of set a goal to do. And I think it was, yeah, I needed to get maybe 3 or 4 by 100 runs in the last 5 or so games. And yeah, was able to do it, which is pretty cool.
And if someone came to you then, who's not an Australian, who's coming to Britain next season, what would you tell them about batting in England? Admit, you know, you've had a slightly strange season with the weather, but every season's unique. Every season's got its odd characteristics. What are the key things as an Australian coming to Britain? Is it in your head stuff? Is it about dealing with the... Is there more spin? That's one thing I've heard Australians at my club say in the past. There's more spin bowling here than there is in Australia. I mean, what would be the key things you'd tell them to look out for?
Yeah, you'd obviously, first thing, you'd have to adjust to the pace of the wickets. Yeah. They're a lot slower, so it's a bit harder to drive straight down the ground. I sort of more found myself hitting a bit squarer. And obviously the swing of the ball... it swings a bit more, but yeah, definitely spin. There's a lot more spin that you face, and also the wickets turn a bit more, I feel. So I definitely find being more positive and attacking spinners here worked for me. So definitely developing a game against spin, especially like when you have to face... Lucky I don't have to face him, but Appa, if you have to face him bowling all day from one end, like you're going to have to develop a few shots, whether that's a reverse sweep or a lap sweep, to try and manoeuvre the field and put the pressure back on the bowlers. I think that would be the main one.
When you go back home to Australia and you look back on your 4 months in England, what are you going to say? No, I really enjoyed that part of the English game. You know, whether it be, I don't know, whether it be the tea, whether it be, you know, something about actually playing the game that you think, no, that works for me. That made me a better player, or I just enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, definitely the teas are a lot better, to be honest. We at Crouch End, we get a nice curry and a sit-down meal, and it's like that at a lot of other clubs as well, which I really enjoy. But I just really enjoyed the club, Crouch End, and I guess the environment and the English, the way the guys go about the cricket, and also the amount of games you play over here as well. It's a lot more compared to, I feel like you play a lot more cricket compared to what you do back in Australia. So, yeah, I think that would be the main ones. If I don't know if I answered your question or not.
No, that's interesting, because in the West Midlands, I mean, for those who are not aware, Joel's just come back from playing for Worcestershire at Kidderminster. In the West Midlands League, it's 22 games a season.
Is it?
So they're still going. Whether they'll be going, you know, this weekend is another matter, but they're still going. So yeah, they play even more, and they have end of season playoffs as well to get into the Birmingham League. So yeah, cricket coming out your ears at times in England. And what about the other way? What didn't you like much about English cricket? What doesn't talk to you? What's just not your way of doing it?
It's a bit of a tough one, to be honest. Like, I feel like when you love playing cricket, you can't really complain much about cricket when you're playing it.
That's a very diplomatic answer, John. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't have anything bad for it.
Well, I'll give you one that, I mean, I've heard Australians at my club say, and that's that the game's too short. Play over two weekends. Give us 100 overs or whatever it is in Australia, 90 overs a day, and then you'll really be able to test people out. And my response to some of the boys at Twickenham is, you can't bat 100 overs. You know, it'd still be the same game the way you play, which may or may not be true. But do you think there's any virtue in that? I mean, I guess there is one issue. Normally the weather would be a bit of a problem, because the weather from Saturday to Saturday can differ. But do you think there'd be any virtue in going down that route?
Yes and no. But to be honest, I like the formats here, because you get to bat once or twice a weekend, where in Australia, because of the two-day cricket, if you miss out on a Saturday, the next Saturday you're bowling, and then the next game you could be bowling first. So there's 3 or 4 weeks where you're not batting out in the middle, whereas here you're batting, yeah, minimum twice a weekend, which for a batter, that's the best practice you can get. So
I guess the idea is you value your wicket more, right? If you're batting in weeks one and weeks four, you don't want to get out in week one. Otherwise, you've got a bloody long time to wait. I guess that's the theory. Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
And in terms of the other cricket you played, I mean, I mentioned that you've been playing for Worcestershire Twos there, but can you talk to us a bit about the other sort of representative cricket that you've been involved in? What did you make of it, and who was it for?
Yeah, so I played a few games for Middlesex Twos. Played a four-dayer and a few of the one-dayers. And then, yeah, played it was meant to be a 4 day game, but we only got 1 day because of the weather this week. But, yeah, it was the first sort of long format cricket I played. So it was a good experience to play some 4 day cricket, and just test my, I guess, skills and I guess my mental capacity for cricket and different game situations and, I guess, yeah, better standard of bowling and players that you're versing. So, yeah, it was definitely a good experience. It was something that I had a goal of doing when I came over here before the season. So, yeah, hopefully I can play some more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always good to take these opportunities, isn't it, when they arise. You can't predict it's going to rain 3 days out of four. That happens. But yeah, you know, give yourself a chance to bat and bowl against good players. Seems like a sensible idea to me. Last sort of question, but from me anyway, before we go into a few quickfire ones at the end, is about the future. So you're going to go back and play in Australia. What happens then? Is England on the radar again for 2023, or is it too soon to tell?
Yeah, it's definitely on the radar. Yeah, the plan is to go back and try and have a similar season back in Perth and see what opportunities I can create there. And then also, yeah, I've got a British passport, so the plan is to come back and try and, I guess, find a county where I'm successful at, and try and make my way into a contract and, yeah, play the best cricket I can.
So might that in, I don't want, you don't have to say yes or no directly, but might Crouch End be on the radar again in 2023?
I haven't thought about it too much, but if I'm playing in the Middlesex League, it would definitely be Crouch End.
Sounds logical to me. Sal?
Just want to ask you a bit of bad news here, Joel. So there's one record you didn't break, which is really close to breaking, which I'm sure is aware of, the most centuries. Now, if me and Dan was batting in your situation, we'd have just got, five singles or four singles down the
I know where you're
ground.
going here.
But I mean, I watched both two shots you played, and it was agonising, wasn't it? I mean, I think both caught in a boundary. In the two games you got the 90s.
So, what were the scores that Joel got? Sal, just remind us.
You got 90, was it 98, Joel, and 94 in the two games against
Yeah,
Northland and the other team now.
it was 94 against Stanmore, and then 98 against North Mid. Yeah.
I mean, was your intention just to keep playing the way you've been playing all innings, or did you not think, like, I'll bat like Dan and Sal and just get five singles down the ground and race my bat that way?
The 94, I thought about that when I was sitting in the change rooms after I got out. But yeah, I don't know. It was just
It was
something
there,
that
you gave it the
happened,
work,
and
yeah.
yeah, probably. I guess you always think about changing. You can't change it after it's happened. But yeah, it's a little bit frustrating because I wasn't really thinking about the hundreds. I was thinking about batting to the end of the overs and making a big not out score. So, but yeah, it is what it is, I guess.
Well, I think we found the weakness, Joel. Just the weakness is the 90s. Rubbish in the 90s. I mean, every cricketer in the world would take that one, wouldn't they? If their weakness is in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Next
Great
season,
Joel.
stuff. There was one. Did Crouch End go on tour, Joel? I don't know if they do. Do they, Sal? Have you? Because
They go
cricket tours in England are they
to Jersey,
aren't
don't
well.
they? They do a
Yeah,
pre-season
we.
Jersey, don't they, Joel?
Oh, which we went on to, I guess. We had a pre-season one to Jersey, played a few games, and then we did a midweek tour or boys' holiday to Marrakesh, which was good fun as well.
Marrakesh. Oh, I like
Yeah,
some of
interesting
that.
place, yeah.
Excellent. Because tours in England are a bit of, I wouldn't say they're sacrosanct, but they're things that clubs love to do. They bring the club together. Often, lots of the stuff is, completely off the record, and but people are sleeping in the gutter. Goodness knows what they're doing. But certainly, I think club tours. I'm glad they keep going. And I know Alexandra Park, who, of course, not too far from Crouch End. That they 70 years they've been going to the same places. Sal, I can never remember what it
Might be
is, but a
longer,
long time,
maybe longer than that. It'll,
maybe
yeah.
longer.
But
Yeah,
yeah.
good stuff.
Yeah.
Joel, we'll move into our quick fire 10 questions, right? The way we've done this in the past, and those people listening to the pod regularly will know, the first answer that comes into your head is the best answer. Okay, even if later on you think, "Oh crikey, I shouldn't have said that," it's still the best answer. And so we've got 10, and any thoughts you have on any of these would be great. Shall I kick off, Sal?
Go for it, Dan.
Simple one to start with. Favorite cricketer of all time?
Adam Gilchrist.
Perth boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's batting or he's keeping.
Both,
or
yeah.
both. Yeah,
Changed the
both.
game.
Absolutely.
Actually, did you know, Joel, he played in this league when he was 17 for Richmond?
I did hear, yeah, Adam Gilchrist played in this league, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you not think? I think a lot of people neglect the fact that he was a bloody good wicketkeeper. They just see him revolutionising the number seven position, coming in and whacking it. But how good was he against Warne? And people forget that. They just see him standing there catching the ball. But as a keeper, brilliant as well, right?
Yeah, and to take over Healy's job as well, it's yeah, pretty impressive what he did.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, nice bloke as well. From what I can tell, I mean, I'm sure he's got a ruthless streak and all the rest of it, but he comes across as being thoroughly engaging. So.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And he's got a few good podcasts. Him on, I don't know if you've heard of the Howie Games. He's a broadcaster in Australia. He's done a few good podcasts with him, which is really good.
When during COVID, he came on the Twickenham Cricket Club, like social that we had on Zoom, and he just said, "Oh, come on, oh, come on," and chatting. Obviously, he didn't know us, but came on for an hour chatting cricket. It was like, Wow. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. Anyway, number two, Sal, over to you.
Okay, Joel, this could be in the UK, Australia, anywhere in the world. What's your favourite ground you played at?
The Wacker.
Why is that then? Cult status in the UK, Joel, I don't know if you're aware of this. Is it? I think it's those bloody big floodlights. They're massive, aren't they?
What, at the Wacker?
Yeah. Well, they were in the day.
It's just a prestigious ground. You grow up watching people play on, and obviously the wicket, it's just like, it's everything that they say. It's like, oh, I'm a wicketkeeper back home, and club cricket wickets, you're sort of standing quite close, and there you're sort of pushing back towards the inner ring. So, it's awesome to play at.
Now, remind me, what's happening with the Wacker now? Because it's not the test ground in Perth anymore, is it? Is that right?
I don't think so. They're revamping it and doing a lot of new stuff to the grandstands. But I think, the new ground's Optus Stadium, which is an amazing ground as well. So,
have you played there?
No, I played an Aussie rules match there a few years ago, but no cricket there.
In due course. In due course. You'll get there. Cool. Number three. What's the favourite match that you've ever played in, both in the UK and Australia? I guess Australia would be the one that you've got more to choose from. But what's the favourite game that you've ever played in?
It would have been, we had this game, I think it was last season in Perth, where we took six wickets for about, I think it was one or two runs, and won this game, which was probably the best game I've been a part of. And in the UK, I can't put my finger on it actually, but played a few good games. There was actually this one game I played for Crouch End in 2019. It was a cup game against an Essex team, and we came back and won. That was pretty memorable. I can't say that word. Game, but yeah.
Obviously, you could go completely left field. You could mention the Sunday friendly against this low ranking opposition for kickstarting the season.
Yeah, it could be, but I always like a team win over individual performance.
You should be a politician, Joel. You can go far. I'm telling you, go a long way. Good girl. Sal, number four.
Okay, so you've mentioned performances that you've obviously taken part in. What one would stand out against you? So which individual performance that was, a player played against you is one that you can sort of remember and think, wow, that was amazing. You won't forget it.
A player that I versed?
Yeah.
It was probably the four... I played... a four-day game against Surrey, and it was actually one of their Aussies that were trialling. He scored this very good 100. That was one of the better innings I've seen. And also, Steve Rangold, he got 100 against us when we played Stanmore at their ground. That was one of the better innings I've seen. And then, obviously, in Perth, I get the likes of watching Jono Wells bat every week, and he's scoring double hundreds and hundreds on a lot of occasions, so it's pretty good watching him as well.
Double hundred in club cricket, I always think it's a decent performance. Fair play. Whoever's doing that is doing well. Good. Toughest opponent in the county league, or rephrasing that, who's the best bowler you faced? And I don't necessarily mean they are the best bowler full stop, but when you faced them, they were tough. They were the toughest that you came across over the last 18 weeks. And that could be pitch affected, or it could be context affected. It could be whatever you want. But who was the toughest nut to crack?
I was going to say the old fella, the opening bowler for Stanmore, the left armer.
Mark Rheingold.
Rheingold.
But probably...
He is a tough character, though, isn't he? Because he just...
He's tough to get away.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to get out to him. The opening bowler for Teddington.
Brewster.
Brewster, yeah. Yeah, he's a good bowler. I found a good battle against him, which was good.
From the Bradford League as well.
Yeah. I remember you mentioned they played up there.
Yeah. There we go. Well, I think you're not the only person who found him tough to play against this season. He's certainly got a few wickets, didn't he, Sal?
He did 40 plus, I think it was in the end. So yeah, you're very well.
Decent. Sal, over to you, number six.
Okay, so Joe, you're the captain of a side now. You've picked your 10 and you've got one more slot available from these two players. Who are you going to pick? Is it Tom Colley?
You can't ask him it like that. Is it going to kill her? Go on, there you go.
Or Appa. Who comes in? Tom or Appa for that final spot?
The first question is, who the hell are the other 10?
Yeah, that's true.
But,
yeah.
But let's leave that for another time. Let's assume they've already been picked.
In their heyday, like the best at form of their career?
Let's go with that then, yeah.
I'm going to have to go Skulls. Sorry, Apps.
It is a lose-lose question, isn't it? Because somebody's going to be offended somewhere. But, I mean, you know, two phenomenal players. Why do you say Skulls?
It's just like it'd be a good game to play with him, and obviously he was a great player. He's a good mate of mine. He's been my coach and someone that's helped me along my journey a lot. So it'd be I've got to pick him.
Yeah, tough call though, isn't it? I mean, we know that when we ask the question. Number seven, I think this might be a bit more straightforward, although I'm not sure from what you said so far, which one you'll necessarily go for. If you had a choice of playing a 50-over game or a time game, which do you go for and why?
A time game.
As in the format we play in Middlesex, timed.
Yeah. A time game, as I enjoy the challenge of red ball cricket, the different game situations and the different tactics you have to think about throughout the day, whether how long you're going to bat for, and also, yeah, just test everyone's skills for a lot longer. And you also get to eat twice throughout the day as well.
Now we're getting to it, aren't we? I get it, yeah. Interesting. Okay, I like that one. Okay. Sam?
And I'm sure you've had many players try and get your head, Joel, when you've been batting and trying to, you know, affect your sort of concentration and mental side of the game. So what's the worst sledge you've had? Which is obviously repeatable, but any sort of bad language if possible.
Most of them gone then.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Mate, all the Australian ones gone probably.
Last season in Perth, I got offered out to have a fight after the game. That's probably the worst one I've had.
That's a cop out, that is, if you go to physical abuse, isn't it?
Yeah, some guys get like that a bit, I guess. Yeah.
For the record, Sal, but my favourite one was at Southampton when I was playing, where an edge one for four, and the bowler will remain nameless, says that is the worst 50 I've ever seen in my life. And I just said, yeah, and I got 44 of them against you. Because I'm a bit, I don't know, sort of vainly retentive with the numbers. And he didn't quite know what to say then, because I felt like saying, yeah, it was pretty average, I grant you, but it came off. But anyway, that was one I was quite pleased to have remembered at the time. But there we are. Next up, number nine. Right, another tough one, but which do you prefer as a game of cricket? The stuff you've grown up with, grade cricket, or the Premier League cricket that you experienced in Middlesex, and why? Two questions in one. Which do you prefer, and which do you think is a better standard?
It's definitely grade cricket in Perth. It's just, I've grown up playing it. And I think, yeah, it is a better standard. Like some weeks you might be facing guys like AJ Tai or guys that played for Australia. I feel like it's just, something that I enjoy playing more over there compared to here. But I think, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting point as well. So, Sal, I worked out the other day. We've had four England internationals who've been registered for Twickenham in the Middlesex County League. And you can probably work out how many games they've played for Twickenham. It's a nice round number.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in front of it. And we totally knew that over the course of 15 years or 20 years, this is. And that's, of course, because they play so many goddamn games of cricket in the summer. Why on earth would they come and play any club cricket with us? The people who do play, and you know this, Joel, people who do play are often on the fringes of Middlesex's first team. They need they're coming back from injury or they need the practice. Whereas I get a feeling in Australia, because there's less cricket played, a game for your club has just got a greater significance than it would do in England. And it's not a criticism, to be fair, of the players. I get it. But it does mean we don't get Australians turning up, Australian internationals turning up in club cricket. Have you played against, who's the biggest name you played against in Perth then?
Yeah, probably like the likes of AJ Ty, Cam Green, those types of players. But yeah, I think and we also, there's a lot more people here, there's more teams, there's less teams in Perth and the grades over there. So it makes it stronger. But it was something that I was chatting to actually the guys up at Worcester and their Birmingham League, and they seem to have a lot more pros playing in their club cricket compared to, I guess, Middlesex League. So I think that, I guess that would be like a big difference as well.
A lot more money in Birmingham as well, Joel, if I'm being brutally honest.
Yeah,
knowing the hood a bit, and very open. You can pay whoever you want as much as you want. So and clubs do. So that attracts a certain character as well. But we've got a 10th question left, and it's a big one, right? And I'm going to leave it to Sal.
Joel, actually, before I ask you, a quick question on the great stuff in Australia. So say, for instance, you've got Cameron Green available on a Saturday to play. Does he get told to play by Western Australia, or will he just say, I fancy game of cricket, and rocks up and plays for his first grade side or his club side?
I believe he would have to, WA would have to let him play, and then it would be his choice after that, whether he plays as a batter or I don't think he'll bowl. He would just play as a batter, but I don't think he'll be playing. He won't be playing grade cricket anytime soon now that his career is where it's at.
I think that happens a lot, doesn't it? Bowlers are wrapped a little bit more in cotton wool. And I get it, given the unnatural thing that a bowling action is. You don't want to bowl in 20 overs on a Saturday, do you? If you've got a championship game on the Monday. So I think it's the same in Middlesex, Sal, isn't it? The batters are more likely to be given the all clear to play.
Yeah, it's workload, yeah. So judging by the fact you said you like time games, and the main reason was because you get two meals or two times to eat food, and I love my teas as well, Joel. Which was your favourite tea? And you can also, describe the menu as well if you want to make it even more interesting.
Because Sal's going to try and get an umpiring gig there next year. That's what it is.
I'm writing notes down as you speak.
Yeah.
It was definitely... I can't go past Crouchen's tea.
Well, I was going to say, leave Crouchen out of it because you can't. It's just not fair because they're your club. But of the other nine?
Stanmore. I'm actually a vegan, so they were very accommodating for my requirements and cooked me some nice food, which was very nice of them.
Now Sal will not be at all surprised about that because he's waxed lyrical about Steph Reingold's teas a couple of times on the pod. So
not the only one.
Yeah, I'm going to say not alone. So I think there's a consensus that Stanmore is a good place to be eating your cricket lunches and cricket teas. All good. Joel, it's been great talking to you and great getting sort of insight as what it's like coming and playing cricket in this country. Goes without saying, wish you well in the winter and in next summer. And of course, next summer might not be a bad summer to be here because the international cricket looks quite interesting, doesn't it? If I got it right, Australians in town next summer?
They are, yeah.
The Ashes, is it?
The Ashes, yeah. I think it is. So,
bad memories from last time I was here in 2019. So hopefully it's a different story.
Because please come back. We can repeat them all being well now. I'm not sure we can, but yeah. I mean, I hope to see you back in Middlesex next year. If we don't, then obviously, we'll follow your progress with great interest because you've had such a phenomenal year this year, and don't forget us when you're rich, famous, and opening the batting for Australia in the, what will it be, 2027 Ashes, right?
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Good stuff. Cheers, Joel.
Thanks, Joel.
Speak to you soon, guys. Bye.
Bye.